Through the years, I have become accustomed to speaking, and it has at times become a little bit more easy for me, but I've never yet been able to be entirely free of the fear that has always been in my heart when I have arisen to speak to the people. That fear, I'm sure, has been prompted by the very fact that I realize my imperfections and my weaknesses and my inability within myself to expound the gospel law. And for that reason, I appreciate the prayers of the people that I might be able to speak those things that would be not of my own mind, but of the mind of the Master of men, and that it might be food for our spiritual being. We have in this reunion experienced some unusual moments, moments wherein we have felt that the Holy Spirit has been in our presence. And I believe we have been convicted of that when we have heard the testimonies and the prayers and the earnestness that were in the hearts and in the voices of those who have spoken. We have seen men mellowed. We have witnessed tears flowing down the cheeks. And we have heard strong men say, "I am not ashamed of my tears." I am naturally an emotional individual, and for this sometimes, while I am not ashamed, yet I have fought to crowd back my emotion from time to time for fear that people might think that it was only an emotionalism that has prompted some of my remarks or my feelings, rather than the Spirit of God Almighty. But I believe that when a man is truly touched by the Spirit of God Almighty, it's almost an impossibility to express his thoughts in words that may be given to him by that inspiration without a degree of the show of emotion. And therefore, I too, like my brother today, stated, "I am not ashamed of my tears." And though many times I would wish that I did not, or I could control, did not shed tears, yet I am reminded of an occasion that was sacred to me and shall be as long as I live and draw breath. My wife and I in the Yucatan area went to a place, a home, where we had never been before. We had heard of an individual or a family that seemingly were susceptible to the gospel of Christ or desired to hear of the things of divine nature. And when we heard of this, we went there. And a little experience here was unusual, but this is typical of the leadings of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Recall the occasion when the Spirit said, "Go down into Macedonia," or said to Philip, "Go down and attach yourself to the chariot." And there he attached himself to the chariot, and when he did, he found a man reading from the gospel, reading from the scriptures, and he said to the man, "Do you know and understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "How can I unless I have someone to explain it to me?" And then the Spirit moving touched Philip, and he began to expound the gospel of Jesus Christ to this total stranger. But the Spirit had directed him there. And it wasn't long after he expounded, it doesn't say exactly what he expounded to the eunuch, but what could it have been other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, including the necessity of being born again, being born by water and of the Spirit, when it wasn't long until the eunuch said, "See, here is water." What had he been listening to? the gospel of Jesus Christ as it was being expounded by a holy minister, or not a holy minister, but a minister that had been called of God and had been inspired and given the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost to guide his thinking and his word as he explained the gospel of Jesus Christ to a eunuch. Here is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? And the story is that he fled into the water and he was baptized, and both the eunuch and Philip went on their way rejoicing. Well, what I was going to tell then was my wife and I, we went into this place and to a home we'd never been before, a little brush hut, and the Indians came out, and the story they told was astonishing. Why the Lord give some of those people such marvelous manifestations, or I say I don't know, but I think I do. It's to encourage their faith. They're a simple people. They're like children. And you remember what the Master said, unless you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And unless you become as little children, perhaps you cannot really and truly have the gospel of Jesus Christ expounded to you and accept it without any reservations, unless you become as a little child. But anyway, here we went to this home, and they came out and took one look and said, "We recognize you." The woman recognized us. "I have seen you in a dream." And so she said she had seen us talking to a woman in another town some 80 miles away, and she even named the woman. And did I get a surprise of my life, because the day before we had talked to the woman by the name she referred to, and in the very town she told us we'd talked to her. And as far as we could understand and see, there had been no possible means of communication between that woman, Rosario, and this woman whom we were speaking to at this moment. And she said, "In my dream, I saw that soon we begin to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't very long until all of us in this little room were in tears. Not because we were sad, but because we were rejoicing. We had found that here was a white man and here was the Indians." And we found, through the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we were brothers and sisters. Ah, yes, the gospel of Jesus Christ was being revealed by power in the lives of men and women here. And she said, shortly after, we found ourselves in tears because of our rejoicing. And here again, would we be ashamed of such tears? That we would find that the problems between nations, between nationalities, had rolled away. And we had begun to see each other in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherein there is neither color, nor right, nor creed. And she said that when we were in tears, the door opened, or didn't open. They didn't have doors. They have doors you could pass through, but you couldn't close. Nothing there to close. Little brush hut, thatch roof. And she said, "We saw then, as we were in tears, someone came in the door, and here was my sister, who had left a few days ago to go to the territory of King Tanaroe, some 100 miles distant. And she had left. Actually, her sister had left the day before, and she thought she was in King Tanaroe. But she said, my sister came to the door, and the first thing she said, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Are you sad?" And she said, "No. We are not sad, but we rejoice because we have been discussing the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherein we have found that this man and this woman from another nation are our brother and our sister. And believe you me, brothers and sisters, the tie that binds brothers and sisters to the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater than blood ties. And don't you forget it. I came to this reunion with my blood sister. And my sister, Irene Shaw. Both are my sisters in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's just as great as blood tie or greater. And those whom I see here are my brothers and sisters. And this is the union in the love of Jesus Christ and then under the understanding of the gospel that binds us together that no power on earth or in hell can break as long as we're bound under that gospel love. And you know the strange thing was that we were there and we were talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and we were in tears and someone walked in the door. And it was this woman's sister who was supposed to be in Quintana Roo. And the first thing she said after noticing the tears flowing down the cheeks, why are you weeping? Are you sad? And the woman who had had the dream said, no, this is our brother and sisters I have experienced. We have experienced that spirit here during the reunion. This being the last service, or should we say the last moments of melody under gospel ties that we shall have for a while together. Oh, yes, when we leave, maybe the song will end for a moment. But in our hearts, because God has given us a faculty of memory, the melody will linger on. And that melody can, in times of trial and times of stress, when you become discouraged, I become discouraged upon occasions, maybe we can project our minds back to the time that we were lifted in ecstasy as we heard a brother and a sister testify under the influence of the Spirit and shedding tears yet happy because they had come to an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ through which man can contact a power that can guide him through safely in the chaos that he may meet. I was so happy today to hear a sister who sits back here that I never met before until this trip. Make the testimony like this, how she was so pleased and so surprised, I believe it was. So astonished to witness such humility in the ministry. Oh, I am proud of that statement. And I believe that as I sat in the audience and looked at the ministry lined up here and saw the expressions in their face and saw the love that was radiating for you and for the maimed and the crippled and the sick and the afflicted throughout the earth and those who had problems. So I could see the love radiate. And I believe I could see the truthfulness of this sister's statement that in the ministry there was humility. And let me state, if any of the ministry at any time ever get to the point that they exalt themselves, God will abase them. Or any individual, even other than the ministry. But the ministry have a peculiar position of obedience, shall we say, that they might live in such a way, watch their every thought and their every action, that they might be an example, that they might be fit vessels to feed the sheep. The gospel of Jesus Christ that can lead us through the turmoils that we face in the future. I wrote down a few statements here. And by the way, as of now, I'm not even preaching along the lines I had in mind. And because of that, I get excited. I'm going to try not to prolong it too long. Well, I did write down a few things. I didn't even intend to use these, but I think it would be well to read them. A few things that were spoken by the ministry of this church and of this reunion. Marvin spoke first. He made this remark. The time will come when God will not withhold his judgment. It will. It'll come in your day and mine, many of us here, in my honest opinion. Oh, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a crystal ball gazer. And I could miss the mark many years. But as I see the rapidity of the fulfillment of prophecy and how things are transpiring in our day and age, it wouldn't surprise me that a man my age, 67 years old, unless I slip on a banana peeling or die of some disease or get killed by an automobile, but if I live a natural life through the old age that the Lord would give me perhaps without accident or something of this kind, might live to see many of the prophecies fulfilled in the very near future, even to the second coming of Christ. I believe this is a possibility, but I'm not making a prediction, because I recognize the fact that the Scripture says, the day and the hour no man knoweth, no, not even the angels in heaven. And I'm not going to go contradicted to that type of Scripture, for that is from God. But we are also told, when we see a blade of grass turn green, we know that spring is nigh. And by a like token, when you see the signs of the time, we can know when the second coming of man is nigh. Speaking of the rapidity of things, I'm a man of 67 years old, and I didn't hardly realize until just recently. I thought I was a kid. I really did. And I shod lots of horses a few years ago. They kicked me around. They threw my knees out of joint. They broke bones. They done this. They done that. I'd go to a doctor once in a while and get patched up, and the doctor told me, you know, you're pretty lucky. You seem to be overcoming these things, but where do you get old? All these things are going to be aches and pains. And you know, here not too long ago, I woke up, and I went out and worked on a fence line. I did this and did that, and all my joints begin to ache. My knees creak. I can't hardly get down to pray anymore. If I do, I can't hardly get up. And all of a sudden, I woke up, I'm old, I'm getting old. In the body. But I think a lot of times, like the youth do. I just don't want to get old, and I'm not afraid to grow old, and I hope I'm able to grow old gracefully. But what I'm trying to get at is this. 67 years is not a long span of life. But what has happened in the past 67 years? Good grief. You know, I crossed the plains in a covered wagon. A lot of people don't want to believe that, but it's a fact. It was the last of the covered wagon days, but I did that. And it was only a matter of a few years before that, till the poor Lamanites that was on this continent were scattered and peeled. Yes, scattered and peeled. Not but a few years before I crossed the plains. Well, if I'd have been able to travel when I was born, I'd still have been just almost in the whiz of the arrows and the gunshots of these men who were causing so much problems. And you know, I read the Book of Mormon, and I read the heritage of these people that were scattered and peeled. And what's going to come to them yet? And oh, how I rejoice in the economy of God that these people, that because of the actions of their forefathers, suffered untold agony. Untold agony, almost beyond human endurance. And as I was talking to Brother Bell just before this service, I had no idea talking about these things. I went into the mountains of Arizona in the stronghold of Cochise. And there, I went up the very trail that these Indian people, bleeding from the gunshot wounds of the soldiers when they were betrayed, crawled back in the brush to die with their women and their children. And I felt the grief of those men long since gone as they crawled like animals back there to die. And oh, I knelt in prayer. I felt it so strongly. And I prayed to God, if it's possible, and I don't believe in spiritualism, that we can bring back the dead, that we can talk to them. But oh, I said, God, if it's possible, permit those men and those people to know that even though the years have gone, there are men today that suffer with them. And I believe that when we can come to the conclusion and to the attitude, to the love and understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we not only suffer with the living, we suffer with those that have died through the centuries.
because of wickedness and sin. And let us not forget that today we took the emblems to remember the suffering of the Master of Men who died upon the cross willingly, that you and I might know the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might have an opportunity to work out our own salvation. Yes, we suffer too, and we should. Another statement was made, watch and prepare that you might be able to stand before the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Then came along another speaker, and he spoke of many beautiful things and portrayed the gospel and how important it was in the lives of young men and women and old men and women, and how that when we are prompted we can know right from wrong, and when we do know right from wrong, it's our duty to make the proper choice, because we are creatures of decision, and make no mistake about it, God gave us our free agency, and we can choose right or we can choose wrong. And the sad part of the thing is, the world is filled with individuals who have a long list of wrong decisions until the time comes, and has come, until the masses of the people today, even those who profess themselves to be Christians, do not really understand how far they missed the mark of Christianity. How far they missed the mark of Christianity. For an illustration, our laws permit many things, and we have concluded because it's lawful according to man, it's all right. And in our business affairs of the day, some of our great financiers of the world are robbing every day the widows and the poor. And they go to church, perhaps, many of them. And they really believe, and they're taught by the ministry who teach, and with itching ears, that they are God-fearing individuals, and that they have a place prepared in the mansions of our Father. But yet, in business affairs every day, because it's legal according to the laws of man, they are permitted to rob. Well, I could go into detail here. I'm not going to do it. And I can show you exactly how it's robbery. And I so had an experience with a used car salesman along that line. And I pointed up to him. I said, I don't want to scold you. I don't want to give you a bad time. You and I are trying to do business. He made me a price on my car. But his father-in-law, prior to that time, made me a price. How much I would pay difference in a trade. Well, then the father-in-law, when I came along to see if I couldn't do some business, turned me over to his son-in-law. And so the son-in-law said, well, I said to the son-in-law, now how much difference between in our deal?